The Holy Spirit has a way of working to convey a specific message to the people of God. And I will expound or enlarge on that as we begin into the message this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders. Amen. Praise the Lord for the songs of the church today and how they ministered to us. It's good to be back home. Amen. Amen. Little vacation's all right, but Pastor's always glad to make it back home to Kansas City and to Christian Charity. Come and go with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 8 in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message today. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Bow with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise, we give you thanks, we give you glory today. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer that you allow us to call on your holy and divine name. And Lord, you're truly worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship. And I come this morning, Lord, asking that you would use my mind and my mouth to communicate the message of the gospel, of Lord, to your children today. And I pray, oh God, asking that they will hear your voice and hear your word, that they will receive it with joy, and then, Lord, apply it to their lives. If there be any here who are lost, oh Lord, who are unsaved, call them to yourself. Pray that you would bless our time and the word today, oh Lord. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise. You may be seated in his presence this morning. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get y'all to stand back up. Let me get you to turn to the person standing on your right or left and ask them this question. Can God use you? Now ask the person on the other side the same question. All right, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. You don't have to answer the question, because it'll become abundantly clear to those who spend time with you or hang around you whether God has been given permission to use you. And I know that the word use carries a negative connotation as it relates to people. Because when we talk about people and the word use, probably a better definition would be misuse. Because we often look at it from the standpoint of exploitation, taking advantage of someone, when we talk about somebody using somebody. But when we talk about God using somebody, it takes on a glow. There's a certain potential, amen, a great potential, I should say, for glory and for honor for God and for blessing for you and me, amen. And I pray that your response was, yes, God can use me. And I pray that we didn't laden it with a bunch of conditions. If we didn't want a prenup, you know, like we got a whole lot that God can take away from us, it's really reversed. And if God can use us, he's going to bless us beyond measure, amen. And see, it is God's will. God has a purpose for every believer. And his purpose is that he wants to use us in his service. Amen. Amen. And see, so much so that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us, for we were created as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should do what? We should walk in them. And if you are saved, if you've been born again, you are God's workmanship. Amen. And what it really means is that you work for God. Amen. And in that, you were created by God in Christ Jesus to perform good works. And good works result in salvation, amen, for other people. So when you look at this, you understand that, you know, that what's really exciting about being created in Christ for good works is that God uses us, amen, to bring other people into the kingdom of God. Amen. And what's even more exciting is that God doesn't just send us out, but he goes with us, because 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we are laborers together with God. He don't just send us out in the vineyard. God goes with us, amen, and we're there serving and working with him to bring others into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And like I said, I pray that your yes, God can use me, wasn't laden with stipulations and conditions, that God's got to remove all of your conditions, amen, before he can really use you. And you know how it is. Well, Lord, you can use me if. And you fill in the blank. Because, you know, some of us have our condition that God can use us as long as he don't ask us to do certain things. But the key here is that if we really can be used by God, there are four things that we must understand, four things that have to be considered in our willingness to surrender to the power of God to be used for his service and his glory. And let me help you. The first one is that we must know who God is. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, the train of his robe, filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two wings, he covered his face. With two wings, he covered his feet. And with two wings, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, the whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah's encounter with God was what people would call an epiphany, or an encounter of the divine with a human being. And what he saw was God sitting on the throne in his throne room. And when he saw him, the train or the robe of God filled the entire temple. And not only that, but he saw six seraphims. And he saw the seraphims, and they were filled. They had wings, six wings apiece. And these are divine. These are created beings who are always serving before the throne of God. And he said they wasn't just sitting still. So they had six wings. And with six, two of them, they covered their eyes. With two of them, they covered their feet. And with the other two, they began to fly. Now, they weren't just flying around, but they were praising God, saying one to another, the whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah saw the glory of God, so God in his glorified form, sitting on his throne, amen, there in his kingdom. Well, for you and I today, we see the glory of God in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. See, Colossians 2:9 tells us, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The total sum of deity resides in Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God. John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. And amen. See, it is fullness, is actually a tautology, amen, which means used to say the same thing used in two different words. Amen. And it underscores the fullness of the presence of the deity of God in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ, it underscores exclusively that Jesus is the full embodiment of God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. Amen. So when we look at Jesus, amen, we see the deity of the Godhead and the fullness of the divine nature that exists is in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must know who God is. If we're going to surrender to him, if he can use us, we got to truly understand who God is. Then secondly, we have to consider or understand who I am. We need to know who we are. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, it says, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We must recognize who we are. We have to understand our own inadequacies, our own shortcomings, our own sinfulness, amen. And then we must truly know and understand who God is, amen. And it causes us, when we understand who God is and we are in his presence, it causes us to confess our sinfulness. Isaiah, when he saw God and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. Amen. And I dwell in the midst of a people who have unclean lips just like myself. My eyes have seen the King. I've seen the Lord of hosts. Isaiah realized that he and all the people of Israel had not completely obeyed the law of God, that they were incomplete, they were short. Amen. Because they had not followed God's direction. And he said, I've seen the King. I've seen the Lord of hosts. Amen. Isaiah realized, like you and I today, that he should have been dead because he saw God. And see, we should realize that without Jesus Christ, that we are doomed. Amen. We are doomed for hell. There is no way that we can continue in eternity living without knowing who Jesus Christ is and knowing him as our Lord and our Savior. So first thing, we need to consider who God is, and then we need to consider who we are. We're just dust. We're just mortal creatures. We're subject to fail. But in our failure, when we really understand who God is and who we are, God will do something. He will move. What God will do. Isaiah 6:7 says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal. Amen. And which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Amen. We must recognize, first of all, who God is, and then our own sinfulness. And when we do that, God will move. See, 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to remove our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, in this instance, God's heavenly ministers perform the proper ritual to Isaiah. Isaiah needed to be cleaned. His sin needed to be forgiven. He needed to be saved that God might use him in a greater way. Here we see the dynamic character of the Old Testament, which dramatizes both the nature of sin, amen, before God, and the power of God to cleanse or to forgive sin. See, the coal, amen, was connected to the holy altar, amen. And they shared the same power, and therefore, when the coal touched his lips, it sends the sin from the lips of Isaiah and made him clean in the eyes of God, and it prepared him to be used by God in an even greater way, to be used as the messenger of God. God accepted his confession of being a man of unclean lips, being an undone person. And see, when a person, and he was a person of unclean lips, he was undone. He was a sinner, but he didn't have to stay that way. Oh, see, y'all don't hear me, see, because when he confessed his sin, God moved and took away Isaiah's sin. He atoned for his sins. And see, you and I, we don't have to remain people of unclean lips. We don't have to remain undone. All we have to do is just confess our sins, and God will move all of the uncleanness away from our lives. He did it through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He takes away the sins of the world. So if we consider who God is, consider our condition, and then we can expect God to move. He'll do something to make us ready for his service. And then fourthly, and I'm going to be headed to a close. I didn't come to keep you long. There's a call and response. In Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." Now, call and response is very prevalent in singing and in music. You know, it has another application as well. But see, in singing, the lead person will say something, and you'll hear the choir repeat the same thing. That's kind of what was going on with Danielle and the choir. She sung. She was singing one thing. The choir was saying it right behind them, and then she flipped it actually where they were saying it, and she was repeating. That's what you call and response in music. But there is another application. See, I remember, amen, when I was a young boy and be out there playing on the street down there on Bel Air out in Leeds, and Mama come to the door and call. Hey, June. I didn't say nothing. She gonna call again. Hey, June. If I heard, I better say, yes, ma'am. That was the response. Yeah. It better not be, yeah. It was, yes, ma'am. Amen. And with that, God has created us, and he has called each of us for his divine purpose. And what he had in mind when he called us is that he wanted to use us for a specific purpose in his service. Amen. And that's after he calls us to salvation. Then he calls us to service. And see, what every child of God should understand is that he has work for us to do. Amen. See, to begin with, but not limited to the Great Commission. Amen. Amen. When you go, see, a lot of times people think, well, you know, all I have to do is go out and tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's good. We definitely need to do that. But there are other services that we can render for God. But let's just look at Matthew 28:19-20. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And every Christian is commanded, first of all, to go and make disciples of every nation. So if it's talking about every nation, it means that we cannot harbor any racial prejudices. That we have to share the gospel with whites, with Indians, with Arabs, anybody we come in contact with, we are to share the gospel with them that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So where do we go? Anywhere we go, to work, to the ball game, walking, shopping, and you just keep adding to the list yourself. Wherever we go, we tell them about the salvation that God has brought to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. The baptizing piece, bring them on to the church. Once they confess Christ and we share with them, we'll baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now this is the next part is a little bit different, because it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, which infers that we know what Christ has commanded us as believers to do. Now, if you're not coming to Bible study, you're not coming to Sunday school, you're not having personal devotions and reading your Bible, do you really know what God has commanded his children to do? I just asked the question. I'm not going to presuppose. But it does infer that we know what God wants his children, wants us to do as believers. Then he gives us the assurance of his presence. Because he said, lo, I am with you always. That's why I said he doesn't just send us into the vineyard to work and not go with us. But he said, I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the age. So as long as there are Christians working and doing the will of God, Jesus Christ has promised that he will be with us doing this divine assignment, amen, until he comes to take the church out of the world. Now, God poses a question to those that were gathered around the throne. Who will go for us? And rather than letting one of the seraphim answer, Isaiah boldly stepped up and said, Lord, here am I. Send me. He responded to God's call for somebody to go and be a prophet to the nation of Israel. And see, serving God isn't something, amen, that we do by design or by plan. It has nothing to do with our will, but it instead it requires us, amen, to know God, submit to God, and then humbly reply to his call. And then humbly rely on his strength in order to do his will for his glory. Now see, Isaiah spoke up and volunteered for a tough assignment, because God at that moment was calling him to go out and be a prophet to the nation of Israel to harden their heart. Told him that, you know, tell him to keep on hearing, but not understand. Tell him to keep looking, seeing, but not being able to understand what they're looking at. But for you and I, it means that we submit to the call of God out of humility and a will to serve and to honor God. Romans 12:1 puts it like this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And what that talks about is humility, giving God all of us, amen, without any restriction, without withholding anything, that I humbly, Lord, submit myself to your will, to your call, to do your bidding. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And see, today, our work is to answer the call of God on our lives, to go and share the message of grace and salvation that came to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus gave his life out on Mount Calvary to save us from our sins. Amen. He died that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. He died that we might spend eternity in glory with him. He died that we might depart from this old mortal flesh and take on immortality. Oh, doesn't that sound good today, that we can give up all the heartaches and all the pains, all the trials, all the tribulations of this life, and one day walk in the glory where he said that I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And I believe that somewhere in glory that there's a mansion waiting for you and me. I believe God has kept his word and has done exactly what he said he's going to do. Oh, he's calling us to go for him. Let me ask you again. Can God use you? If he can use you, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Can he use you without negotiation, without stipulation? If he can, let me hear you say amen this morning. See, Albertina Walker used to sing a song, said, "Use me, Lord." And it went like, "Use me, Lord, in your service. Draw me nearer, Lord, every day. Lord, I am willing to run on all the way." And she said, "Use me, Lord." Said, "Troubles, sometimes heartaches and pain, but use me, Lord, every day." And we have to purpose in our heart, determine that it doesn't matter what comes, I'm willing to let God use me. The boss can act a fool. The neighbor can act up. The kids can go crazy. But I want the Lord to use me. It doesn't matter what President Trump does. It doesn't even matter what the market does. I want God to use me every day of my life. Can God use you? Can he? And see, I know it's a tough question, because it makes us look down on the inside. It makes us have to determine if I'm really willing to surrender everything to God. It makes us have to evaluate if we're really giving God everything that he asks. I told you I'd tell you why the Holy Spirit was in this. Because when Danielle sang that song, "Withholding Nothing," can God use you? As the praise team comes, we're going to extend the privilege of the church. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I want the Lord to use me. I want him to have control. I want him to do whatever he chooses to do. Because whatever he does is right. Whatever he does is going to be for my benefit and his glory. The thing we have to understand is that we can't stay here forever. One day we got to leave here. Oh, I'm going to enjoy what's here as long as he lets me. But I'm looking forward. Because the scripture says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. But the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And when I take just a little glimpse over in the book of Revelation, and I read about foundations of precious stones and streets paved with gold and gates made of pearl, and our little minds, we can't even fully visualize something that grandiose. But I know whatever God has for us is going to be beyond our expectation. We, you and I, we need to surrender. And say, Lord, use me, Lord, in your service. Use me, Lord, to your glory. Stand with me as we extend the privilege of the church.